Glad to have you with us all today, and of course, all of you watching online. We are in week four now of our Christmas series called Songs of the Season, where we've been looking at a specific Christmas carol leading up to our Christmas Eve service, which is this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. So if I could get all of you to participate with me a little bit, all right? I want to make sure you're awake and ready to go. So I want everybody to say with me, God is, God was, God will be with us. All right, one more time. That was pretty good. But God is, God was, God will be with us. All right, so the Christmas carol that we're going to be looking at today, if you haven't figured out our whole pattern of singing it beforehand, is the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. So I want to give you a little bit of the background and the history to this song, and then we'll dive into it. So O Come, Emmanuel, believe it or not, the lyrics to this carol were actually written in Latin way back somewhere between the 8th and the 12th century. So that is a long, long time ago. And what they would do during this era of church history, especially in monasteries, was they would actually either sing or chant these phrases that all started with the letter O. And then somebody would read a psalm, and then they would either sing or chant another phrase that started with the letter O. And they became known as these O antiphons. And during that era, one of the lines that they would sing birthed this song, O Come, Emmanuel. Now, the one word that's going to kind of describe our entire message for today is the word Emmanuel. So if you got your mobile app open or a bulletin out and you're ready to take notes, you may wonder, what does that word even mean, right? Well, the Hebrew word, the word Emmanuel is actually a Hebrew word that means God with us. So what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Now, I'm curious, right? How many of you have ever prayed, you know, God be with us, God be with me? Have you ever prayed anything like that before? You may be going on a vacation or traveling somewhere, and it's like, you know, God be with us as we travel. I pray that, you know, our kids don't kill each other in the back seat so that I don't have to kill them, but God be with us as we travel. You know, God be with us as we go Christmas shopping to the mall and help us to find a parking space or to help us to find the gifts that we need, that we're looking for. You know, God be with me as I go on this blind date with this guy. I pray he's not a psycho stalker or anything like that. God be with us. You know, God be with me on this job interview. You know, God be with me as I take my final exams, which I always think is a funny prayer. I think sometimes God wants to say, I'll be with you, but it'd be a whole lot better if you actually studied. You know, it'd go a lot better. But I think we all pray, you know, some type of prayer like that. God be with me. God be with us. But what does it mean for God to be with us? I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 1, where we find Matthew's version of the Christmas story. So Joseph and Mary are engaged to become married. Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant, and he begins thinking of divorcing her quietly when an angel appears to Joseph and begins telling him about Mary. And I've got to say, these are some of just the most emotional verses to me. The angel says to Joseph, all right, Mary didn't cheat on you. Right? God is the one who caused her to become pregnant. So don't be afraid to take her home as your wife. And then he says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because, what will Jesus do, everybody? Because he will save his people from their sins. Now, this was the announcement that the people had been longing to hear for centuries. This was the promise that God had foreshadowed way back in the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, that one day God was going to send us a Savior. And Matthew records this announcement that the angel brought to Mary and Joseph and to the entire world. I mean, this is the good news of the gospel. Now, this is what the story is all about. And Matthew goes on to say in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Now, I want to pause right there for a moment. Okay, this phrase, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, is repeated over and over and over and over again all throughout Matthew's gospel, because Matthew's gospel is all about fulfillment. Okay, Matthew was writing primarily to a Jewish audience who would have known all these Old Testament prophecies, and they were looking forward to this coming Messiah. And Matthew spent 3.5 years with Jesus. He saw firsthand all these Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled right before his very eyes in the person of Jesus Christ. What Matthew's about to do is he's going to quote the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. It was in Isaiah 7:14 that the prophet prophesied some 740 years before this event ever took place. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of messes with my mind. right? And I'm just blown away by how big and how good God is. That over seven centuries before this event took place, a prophecy is given. And here's the prophecy which is now fulfilled. Verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. If this were a movie, and this is where the music would get all dramatic and climactic, you know, and they would say, right, he is called Emmanuel, which is God with us, dun, 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 you know, or something like that. It would be way better than that. But because what this angel just said was just the most earth-shattering news possible. Because everybody listening or reading this in Matthew's gospel would know that in the Old Testament, it said that God is too holy. I mean, you can't even look at God and live. All right? They would have known that Moses had to hide his face in the rock as God passed by because he couldn't, you know, stand the full-blown presence of God. They would have known that when God dwelt in the temple, that nobody was allowed into the temple except for the high priest, and only once a year. And they would actually tie a rope around his ankle. Because while he was in the Holy of Holies in God's presence, if he died, they had to use the rope to pull his dead body back out. Nobody could go into the presence of God. I mean, he's just that big. And suddenly, this angel says, God is coming to be with us. All right, what is it that made the shepherds run back into the fields rejoicing? What was it that caused all these wise men to fall to their faces in worship of God? It was this fact right here that God is with us. That God is not some distant, far off, you know, uninvolved God. That God is not someone who just watches over us, but that God was now with us. The creator and the sustainer of the universe is a relational God who wants a personal relationship with you. Right? A God who stripped himself of his glory, became like one of us in the form of a baby, who was fully God and yet fully man without sin, came and dwelt with us on the earth. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14 in the Message translation says, and the Word of God became flesh, and he moved into the neighborhood. And all of a sudden, Matthew is going to say, God is with you, God was with you, and God will always be with you. And that is some of the greatest news we could ever hear. The problem is, I think many of us simply don't believe that. And I can tell, I mean, especially if you're watching online, I mean, some of us, you don't believe in God, and so of course you don't believe that God is with you. And I understand where you're coming from. And there are people who even call themselves Christians, and yet when I tell you that God is with you, you're kind of like, really? Because I don't feel like he's with me right now. Well, there's no tingly, there's no goosebumps, you know, I don't feel him. Well, some of you, perhaps, you're going through some difficult stuff right now. You're going through some tough stuff, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Christmas sometimes is like a big magnifier. I mean, it magnifies the good, it makes it even better, and it can magnify the painful stuff, make it even more painful. And some of you, perhaps, you're facing maybe an empty chair this year. Some of you wish was there, and they're not going to be there this year, maybe through a divorce or death or distance or whatever it may be. And Christmas this year just kind of sucks. You don't feel like God is with you. And some of you, you're facing, you know, that relational tension. You know, things just aren't quite right now. You don't like to go home to her. You don't like to go to home to him. Or maybe it's, you know, some bad news about some health issue or whatever it is. But you're going through it and you're going, you know what? Where is God? I don't feel God. If God is there, you know, why is this going on? Where is God in all this? God is with me? Really? Some of you, if you're really honest, you might say, you know, I've done some things in my life that I'm ashamed of, so why would God ever want to be with someone like me? No, God is with me? That's kind of hard to believe. So here's my goal for today. Before we're through, I pray that God's Holy Spirit would convince you beyond a shadow of doubt that God is with you, God was with you, and God will always be with you. Because you matter to him and because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And when God plants that truth in your heart, I am here to tell you that it will change the way you do everything. So three different truths that we're going to look at today. The first one, if you could say this with me, is God is with you, right? God is with you. No matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, no matter what you're going through in life right now, God is with you. In Luke 1:28, an angel appears to this teenage virgin girl and says, "Greetings." I guess angels are, you know, polite beings, I guess. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is what? The Lord is with you." Right? The very truth that this angel proclaims to this girl is exactly what she needed to know. Because he is about to ask her to do something that was very, very difficult. And so he lets her know, right? The Lord is with you. You're not going to have to go through this on your own. And again, some of you perhaps you're hurting right now. And I want you to understand that the Lord is with you in an even more powerful way. Because Scripture tells us that our God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trials. Now, the Greek word that's translated as comfort is the word parakletos. Right? Para means means alongside, and kleto means called to. Our God comes alongside of you. Right? He is called to minister to you in times of trouble. I mean, this is one of the most beautiful pictures ever, that our God comes alongside us, and he is there to comfort us when we're going through trouble. Again, I think many of us, we just don't simply believe that. Because if you believe it in your heart, not just in your head, it will change the way you do everything. It's kind of like Santa Claus. You know, how many of you have taken your kids to see Santa, and they're just scared to death to see Santa? Right? I think most kids, at least, you know, they like the idea of Santa, getting free gifts from them, until they're in line and it's their time to go up and sit on their lap, and then suddenly they're just terrified. It's kind of like one of my own kids, and I won't tell you which one. I know they get tired of being dad's sermon illustrations all the time. But my oldest, one year, we were at the Crossroads Mall in line to see Santa Claus, and she was just, you know, didn't want to go up and see him. And so as a dad, what do? It's okay, honey. Right? Dad's with you. Right? If you're Eric, I guess you strap him down in Santa's lap and just suffer through it. But, right, so a good dad, though, would say, "It's okay, honey. All right? I'll be with you. Everything's okay when dad's with you," right? When our dad is with us, everything's going to be okay. And here's the thing, right? When you understand that the God of the universe, right, the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God, that God is with you, and you fully believe it in your heart, again, it changes the way we live our lives. It changes everything we do. When you are lost and you don't know where to go, he is with you as your guide. When you're hurting and you feel all alone, he is with you as your friend. When you're in the middle of a trial, God is with you as your comforter. If you're, you know, if you're ever sick, God is with you as your healer. Whenever you're weak, God is with you as your strength. And when you feel lost in your sin, God is with us as our Savior. Our God is always, always with us. And then number two is, our God was with us. All right, our God was with us. I'll tell you what. When you look back over your lifetime, sometimes it's easier to see God in the rearview mirror than it is to see him in the moment, right? It's hard to see him in the moment sometimes. But when you look back over the course of your life, you could be exactly like Joseph from the Old Testament. Now, Old Testament Joseph is a different Joseph than Mary's Joseph, right? This Joseph, if you don't know his story, at one time was a little boy with big dreams. And he said, "One day I'm going to be a leader and all my brothers are going to bow down to me." And so his brother said, "You are a punk and you're cocky." And so they beat him up. They threw him into a pit and they said, "Well, we're just going to leave him for dead." Well, one of his nicer brothers said, "No, let's not leave him for dead. Let's, you know, just at least sell him into slavery." And so that's what they did. They sold him into slavery. And all throughout Joseph's life, despite the circumstances that he was thrown into, he lived his life with integrity. And while he's in slavery, he is falsely accused of something he didn't do. He gets thrown into prison. And when you look at his story from a distance, right, it would be really, really easy to say, where was God with Joseph? I mean, where was God at in all those trials that he went through? God just totally abandoned Joseph. And you have to see the story over the course of his entire lifetime to realize that God was actually working behind the scenes the whole time. That the pit that he was thrown into became his passage to the palace, where he became the second in command over all of Egypt. And God used a very indirect, very painful route to put him in charge so that he could save countless lives from a tremendous famine. And you wonder where God was at through all of this. Well, Genesis 39:21 tells us exactly where God was. The Bible says, but the Lord was where? There you go. But the Lord was where? The Lord was with Joseph. Right? He was there. He was right there behind the scenes the entire time. He was with Joseph throughout his entire life. And again, some of you perhaps are going through the exact same thing right now. You wonder where God is at in the moment. But when you're able to look back upon your life, you will see and you will understand that God was with you the entire time. As most of you know, I'm not a very emotional guy. But I get very emotional when I look back over my life and I see all the different times that God was with me. And I've shared some of these lately, but God was with me when I was 20 years old. And I was driving home late one night after working at UPS, and I fell asleep at the wheel. And suddenly I heard gravel, and thinking it was the gravel on the right side of the road, I instinctively swerved back to the left, but the problem was it was the gravel on the left side of the road. And went flying off of a driveway, barely missed the telephone pole, into the ditch, was able to drive right back up on the road and continued home. But God was with me when I was 20. God was with me when I was 23 and I went skydiving down to Vinton. And our first parachute didn't open up, but my second parachute did. And God was with me. God was with me when I was helping build a medical clinic in Sudan, Africa. And late one night, I went to go to the outhouse, and as I opened up that outhouse door, God prevented this green mamba that fell out of the roof from landing on my neck and instead landed at my feet right in front of me and gave me a chance to back away from that thing. But God was with me. God was with us when we had 3 weeks left to move to Georgia so I could go back to school to begin ministry. And we still had two houses to sell before we could move. But God miraculously sold two houses, found us a house to live in Georgia in 1 week before we got down there. And God was with us. And I remember God being with us when we were in Georgia. And Dee Dee and myself and our two kids, we were living more on love than money. Right, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And with more stories than I have time to share to you, God was with us financially through all of that. And he provided for us every step of the way. We never missed a bill. We never missed a meal. And I remember how God was with us as our provider. And I remember when our church was 1 week old, and I had no idea where we were going to meet together as a church family. Our very first service we held was actually in Sarah Scobie's photo shop over there. It used to be the Nashville Community Center. But God was with me when I got a phone call one day out of the blue. I don't remember who it was. But this guy telling me about this brand new building called the Borlaug Learning Center. It has conference rooms, projectors, a kitchen. And God was with us as we were able to not rent that building, not for just $100 per meeting, but we were able to rent that building for $100 per month. We met out there every single Sunday, every single Wednesday for youth group for over 3 years. And God was with us as a church when we gathered around Ann Windoff, a member of our church family, who was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer, given 6 months to live. And after service one Sunday, we gathered around her and prayed. And 2 days later, her PET scan came back totally cancer-free. Her doctors didn't know what in the world to believe. And God allowed her to live 3 more years before he finally took her home. But God was with us. And God was with us when we were looking at every single building that was for sale in town, trying to find a home for our church. And we looked at the Masonic Lodge, you know, Peterson's Insurance Building. We looked at old B&D store, even the old Casey store. And then one day, Lynn Edelman told me that, hey, the pharmacy is going to be for sale. And God was with us as we were able to buy this building for $35,000, provided every single penny we needed to remodel this entire building. And even 2 years ago, God was with us when he gave another building for $50, which will hopefully be done in a couple months here. But God was with us. And I remember God being with us as Dee Dee and I got pushed out of a hospital room as the doctors and nurses rushed in to save our 7-year-old son who was paralyzed because of the Guillain-Barré and had reached his lungs and he was crashing. And God was with us as we sat in the ICU room for a week. And then several more weeks at Covenant as he learned how to walk again. And I'll never forget finally getting home and Dee Dee and I looking out that kitchen window and Titus goes riding by on his bicycle. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. But God was with us. And God was with us 10 years ago when this former contractor turned pastor decided to come back to his hometown to plant a church. In spite of people telling them that, you can't plant a church, Darren. You've never led anybody to Christ before in your life. How you have no business planting a church. And I was crazy enough to think that God could still grow a church in spite of me. And for the last 10 years, God has been with many of you, over 60 of you who have stepped over that faith line and given your lives to Christ. God has been with us. And what I do today is because I know, I'm telling you, I know God is with me. God was with me. God is with you, and God was with you as well. And then number three, God will be with you. Right? No matter what you face in life, God will always, always be with you. Now, I want you to think about this little girl, Mary, right? This little teenage girl. Imagine if she could have seen the future. Right? Imagine that. I mean, some of us, we can't see the future, and some of us, we freak out about it. Right? If she could have seen her future, she would have said, God will be with me when I conceive this child by the Holy Spirit. And God will be with me when I tell Joseph about it. And God will be with Joseph as an angel appears to him in a dream and tells him, hey, it's going to be okay. And then God would be with us as we traveled on a donkey's back for over 100 miles. And God would be with us when we got there and there's no place for us in the inn. And God would be with me as I gave birth to the Son of God in a stable next to farm animals. No epidural, no soft music, no scentsy warmer, not even my mom anywhere to hold my hand. And God would be with me when I was on the run from a crazy king who was trying to kill my son. And God would be with me when my son was 12 years old and we couldn't find him anywhere. And then we finally discovered he was actually in the temple asking questions, answering questions, teaching, saying he was about his father's business. And God would be with me at the wedding feast when they ran out of wine. My son turned water into wine, one of the first miracles of many that were to come. And God was with me when I watched my son being falsely accused and persecuted. And what Mary would have said is that God would be with me when I watched my son suffer on a cross, brutally abused by the sinners for whose sin he would die as they drove stakes into his body. And God would be with me as I watched him suffer. And when he looked up to heaven, he cried out to his Father, it is finished. And God would be with me as he looked up and he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. And God would be with me, Mary would say, when the earth went dark. And he'd be with me when the earth shook. And God would be with me on that first night when I waited and I wondered. And God would be with me on that second night as I waited and I wondered. And God would be with me on that third day when the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and he was nowhere to be found because he is risen, because he is Emmanuel, because he is God with us. And he is God who was with us, and he is God who will be with you no matter what you go through in life. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Right? Shall trouble, and I want you to answer these, right? Shall trouble separate us? No. Shall hardship? No. How about persecution? Famine? Nakedness. All right, just so you know, nakedness won't even separate you from the love of God. All right, how about danger? Sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then this is my favorite part. Paul says, for I am convinced. All right, Paul was convinced. Are you convinced? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All right, understand this. Nothing, right? No thing will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. You will never be alone, right? Nothing can separate you, not your fears, not your doubts, not your insecurities, not your theological questions, not things that you have no answer for, not your brokenness, not your failures, not your mistakes, not your sickness, not your divorce, not something that somebody else did to you, not your broken dreams. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, because he is, he was, and he will always, always, always be with you. Revelation 1:8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was, who is, and is to come, the God who was with you, who is with you, and will always be with you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you shall fear no evil. Why? Because when you follow Jesus, God will always be with you. He is there with you, and there is no question whatsoever. It is settled. It is written. His name is Emmanuel, and he will be with us. The only question that remains to be answered is this. Are you with God? It's the only question you have to answer. Are you with God? And I think it's time to give it an honest answer. Because God is with you. Right? He is Emmanuel, and more than anything else, He wants to reveal his love, his goodness, his character, his nature. He wants you to be with him, right? Loving him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because he is not a God who is far off or distant or uninvolved in our lives. He is a relational God who came to earth in the form of his son, Jesus, to reveal himself to you, to forgive you of your sins so that you could know him, love him, serve him, and have eternal life in him. The most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you have never, ever made that transaction with God, I think this is the perfect time to do it. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So as we get ready to pray, I really want you to honestly answer that question. Are you with God? Are you with God? And I want to challenge you to answer as honestly as you can, because as I look back over my life, right, 24 years ago, I had to honestly say, you know what? I wasn't with God. I mean, I did the whole church thing every now and then, and I kind of believe, but, you know, hey, even the demons believe, and they're smart enough to shudder. Are you with God? And does your life reflect an ongoing, loving relationship with the God of the universe? Right, as we said last week, do you have that kind of relationship where Jesus would say, I know you. I know him. I know her. We have a relationship. And if not, I'm here to tell you that you are not here today by mistake. God is calling out to you because God is with you. He was with you. He wants to always be with you. And he wants you to be with him forever. The problem is, right, we're all sinners. And our sin separates us from God, which is why we need a Savior. Right? It's why Jesus was born of a virgin without sin so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. He paid our penalty for us. Right? It's the good news of Christmas. And more than anything else, God wants you to accept his free gift of salvation. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to work for it. It's a free gift. But once you receive that free gift, right, guess what you have to give back to him? Your only reasonable response is to say, God, here's my entire life. I don't want to do anything without you. So everybody, all right, look up here. Here's the deal. Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. And here's the good news. Merry Christmas. All right, many of you today, you get to say publicly, I am with God. I need a Savior. I want to be with him. I need your forgiveness. I need your love. I don't care what anybody else thinks or says. I want to go public with this today. I am with God. I give my life to him. All right, publicly before God and everybody else, I am with him. Save me of my sins. Make me brand new. So as we pray, their heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're ready to give your life to the one who came to this earth in the form of a baby, who grew up and died on a cross as the payment for your sins, if you're ready to say, I need God, I'm with God, I'm giving him my life today, would you just raise your hand today to say, I'm with God? Just all over the place. Yes, over there, amen. Wow, all over the place. God, thank you. Just raise your hand to say, I'm with God today. Yes. Anybody else? This is the greatest decision. Yes, back there, I see you. Amen. Greatest decision you will ever make. What a year this has been. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that. All right, would everybody pray this out loud with me? Heavenly Father, save me from my sins and make me new. I believe you died for me so I could live for you. I know you're with me. Now I'm with you. Thank you for the gift of new life. Now I give you mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, church, God is awesome. Why don't you all stand with me as we worship God one more time today?